Hi there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations. One's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for winter driving at Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers with super deals on tires, including up to $200 on new Goodyear tires, plus oil changes, brakes, batteries, and more. For value and savings, click on gotodobbs.com today.
It's time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
With Alex Ferrario and Tanner Hendrickson, I'm Brandon Kiley. It is BK and Ferrario on 101 ESPN. 65780 is the Air Comfort Service text line for questions and answers coming up in about 15 minutes. But right now, we are going to go out to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line to talk with our Blues insider for The Athletic and 101 ESPN. He is Jeremy Rutherford.
We're going to ask him questions, and he is going to give us answers.
That is indeed how this is going to work throughout the interview. Alex, what is the number one thing you would like to know from our Blues insider, Jeremy Rutherford?
What he had for lunch last night.
Okay. Well, other than that, we'll get into something about the Blues. I want to start with this, JR. In terms of what we saw last night, because obviously that's a huge win for the Blues, what was the thing that was different this time around to you, if anything? Because we've seen them go on a run of three straight before. Is this time different?
We'll have to wait and find out.
JR.
I think the fact that you saw the top guys, two things. The fact that you saw the top guys come out and play well and score, and scoring is a big deal. Listen, I heard David Perron this morning on Randy and Michelle, and he said, yeah, you get to 6, 7, 8, 9 games, you start thinking about it. Well, you're talking 19 games with Braden Schenn. He could barely manage a smile, right, when he scored last night. You know, then you get a goal from Vladimir Tarasenko, and I'll talk about him here in a second. You get a goal from Perron. You get a goal from Robert Thomas. These are the guys that have to produce. I just looked up a stat. I'll have it in my story later on. From March 13th until prior to the last two games when they beat Colorado, the Blues were 28th in the league in goals per game. They had 52 goals in 17 games, and that included the 9 they scored against Minnesota, you know, the bottom barrel. If they don't get goals from these top guys, they're not going anywhere. Secondly, I think the takeaway, you know, could they be going somewhere? If guys are willing to accept roles, where was Tarasenko on the power play last night? Not in his spot where he can take some shots. He's net front, and he's getting dirty, and he scores that goal. Remember 2019, Craig Berube went to Alexander Steen. Hey, can you play on the fourth line? Chief, I'll do whatever you want. If guys are going to start to do this, what we saw Tarasenko do, taking that net front role, then perhaps we've got something.
Jared, give me your thoughts on this line combination, because, you know, we all know how good Craig Berube is when he inserts players into the lineup or when he shifts guys around to try and find some chemistry. And he's been struggling to do that this season. But after these last couple of games, I mean, not only has Braden Schenn looked great with Ryan O'Reilly and Perron, but Bozak's getting the best out of Tarasenko and Schwartz. And frankly, the line that I loved last night was Barbashev with Thomas and Kyrou.
Yeah, these lines look great. And I know it's two games. That's the tough part. I'm sitting here writing the story, and you know, you try to, you know, look through it through fans' eyes and get excited about the possibility of what these lines look like, and then you remind yourself it's only two games. But I think if you look at Schenn on that line with O'Reilly and Perron, here's the thing. You know, Sammy Blais looks good up there offensively, but Braden Schenn's a better defensive player, a more tenacious defensive forward. And so you look at that line. If I'm not mistaken, they held the McKinnon line in check most of the night. We know that, but in terms of how they let them, just 5-on-5, they didn't get any chances, the McKinnon line. So then you look at the Bozak line with Tarasenko and Schwartz. They haven't played a lot together, but Bozak's just been phenomenal. You got to give him a ton of credit for the way he stepped up and played. And then to get to the line that you were talking about, Alex, the stat that I had, six scoring chances for and just one against for that Robbie Thomas line with Barbashev and Kyrou. They created some chances. I think Kyrou's looked better defensively. So again, you know, they're going 11 forwards. Some guys are getting more ice time filling in that center spot on the fourth line. But the Lions do look like they have some chemistry. And the bottom line is, I think with Shen on that line, with O'Reilly and Perron, they can use it against the McKinnons, the Kirill Kaprizov lines, those types of lines moving forward.
JR, the thing that stood out to me over the last few games in particular is Jordan Binnington. I mean, last night, he made the saves that needed to be made, the spectacular ones, right? And we've talked about it too often this year, where those are the ones that he's just not quite getting to the way he did in 2019 in particular. He has a 93% save percentage in his last seven starts. What have you seen from Binnington that has been different in your mind?
I think exactly what you said. He's coming up with the big saves, not only the ones that he's supposed to make, but I think he's making an extra save or two per game that we haven't seen this year. And to me, that's a two-goal swing, because he had been giving up one you probably didn't think he should, or he hasn't in his past, and now he's coming up with just these terrific saves. So you go back to the game two games ago, Kadri, you know, chance to go up 3-0. You know, we never know of Ryan O'Reilly's heroics to will the Blues back into that game if Kadri scores there, but Binnington makes a huge save. And then last night, you might wake up, look at the box score, and see that it's 4-1, but he kept them in that game with some huge saves. And I got a chuckle out of his two-pad stack save, or what
his windmill save.
Yeah, windmill save, what was pretty close to a Marty Brodeur there, but when you asked Jordan Binnington about it last night, he said that his dad gave him a text and said, "I've been waiting for that for a long time." So kind of a funny suit. But, you know, I think he feels like himself. He feels confident. You know, he had that 50-save effort, and he said, "We're coming." And then he had a hiccup or two after that. So it's not like he's been rolling here for a couple weeks. He did have a hiccup in the middle. But I think for the most part, by and large, the past couple weeks of Jordan Binnington have been the best hockey we've seen from him all year.
JR, and you know, with the caveat that you said of, you know, look, it's only a couple of games, you want to see a little bit more. The part that's gotten me, and why I really feel confident that if this team were to make the playoffs, they could match up with a team like the Colorado Avalanche, is because of their even strength. So three wins out of the eight against Colorado, and they outscored Colorado in all eight games, 15-13 at even strength. They've allowed a power play goal in their last seven games. They're 4-3 in those last seven. And if you take those three losses at one power play goal away, we're talking about a Blues victory. So it does seem like they are back to the same form of even strength that we all expected them to be.
Yeah, especially against Colorado, Alex, for whatever reason, you know, they've been able to play that line tough, the McKinnon line, and they've been able to play the Avs tough. I mean, you throw out that 8-0 loss in the second game of the series way early in the year, January 15th. You know, these have all been either Blues wins or one-goal losses. So, you know, I just think that they've matched up well against the Avs. And you have to give a lot of that credit to, you know, those top lines, O'Reilly, and then also defensive pair, just holding those guys in check. So McKinnon gets another point last night, another goal, but it's a power play goal. And he had 14 points in the eight games against the Blues this season, but just six of those at even strength. Eight of his 14 came on the power play, which was just lethal against the Blues this season. So, you know, you never want to wish a playoff matchup against Nathan McKinnon and the Colorado Avalanche, but based on what we've seen in these eight games, you know, you got to have some faith that the Blues could play well against them.
So last thing I've got for you, as we're talking with Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider for 101 ESPN and The Athletic. Speaking of the power play, the Blues power play over the last month is now 9-32. It's the fifth best mark in the NHL over that stretch. And really over the last 2 weeks, this is where I wanted to hone in on with Mike Hoffman, because he's been outstanding. I had my doubts. He has sustained it. 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points. He's had 3 power play goals and 3 power play assists in those 6 games, JR. And last night, we saw him up there with the top unit on the power play. Is this for real? Are we seeing Hull & Oates finally on the power play the way that Alex predicted going into the year?
Well, I think that what you have to key in on here is Hoffman on that top unit. And I rolled the video back, and you know, you go back to that 5-on-3 goal he scored on Saturday. That's the game winner, right? But that originally started as a 5-on-4, obviously. And who went out with that top unit? It was Mike Hoffman. It wasn't Vladimir Tarasenko. And so then it became a 5-on-3. Tarasenko goes out he's net front on that one. Hoffman scores the goal and they win. Hoffman goes back out there last night. It's not just the shot, guys. Look at that pass to Torrey Krug that Krug then moves over to Tarasenko and puts it in. Mike Hoffman now has 4 power play goals, second on the team to David Perron, and he has 11 points, second on the team to David Perron. So this is a guy, it's not just that shot. He's been a successful player on the power play throughout his career for a reason, and for whatever reason, that power play time has been limited, and he's been on the second unit all season. So, you know, one of the changes the Blues made, and that's what I'm writing about today, changes that the Blues have made in the past couple days and how that can help them moving forward, is Mike Hoffman on that number one unit. And based on these results recently, you got to believe he's going to stay there.
JR, just to defend myself a little bit, in their last 7 games, they're 8-21. Just some quick math because I'm a genius, 38%, which is best in the National Hockey League. And I did, somebody smart did say that they could be the best power play unit in the National Hockey League.
How long was that stretch that you talked
7
about?
7 games. That's all that's the only thing that matters.
I think that what you said was about the season.
No,
but
JR, correct me if I'm wrong. You heard me say it. For 7 game stretch this season, the Blues will have the best power play in the NHL.
I think like 7 months ago we were talking about this team being the best power play in the NHL, and finally it looks like they're up there.
Thank you, JR. Hall & Oates are officially back. Yeah. Jeremy Rutherford said it. You heard it here first. JR, appreciate the time, my man. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yep, boys. Yeah.